Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, you've probably heard of a broken heart, or maybe you felt that you've had your own heart broken at one time or another. But no matter how deep the pain or the scars, you probably think it's more a figure of speech than anything else. But Takotsubo syndrome, or broken heart syndrome, is a real condition which my next guest has been studying. Shan Harding is Professor of Cardiac Pharmacology at Imperial College in London, and she joins me now. Hello, Shan. How are you?
Hello. Thank you. I'm fine. Yes.
This is a very interesting thing to be studying. Tell us exactly what it is you're looking at.
So this is a rare condition seen often in postmenopausal women, not just women, but often in postmenopausal women who come into hospital thinking they're having a heart attack. And it's often after some very strong physical or emotional stimulus like bereavement. And they're studied and they're not having a heart attack, but their heart is contracting in a very odd way with a very strong contraction at the top and the bottom almost paralyzed. It makes it look like a sort of pot with a narrow neck, a Takotsubo, an octopus pot. It was first seen in Japan, and that's why it was called this thing. And so for some of them, in fact, about 5% of them will have a very severe reaction, may die, but many of them will recover in days or weeks from what appear to be, terminal heart failure and be walking around again. So it's a very interesting syndrome.
And I mentioned the scars there, or, the pain of trauma, but is the heart altered in any way? Are there any scars from this, or does it heal itself?
Although people do get better and can be functional again, there is some evidence of damage in the heart. So at least some people will have the damage. The trouble is, you never know the people beforehand what the people's hearts had been like. So it's difficult to compare them to how they had been before. But there does seem to be some residual effect. And people do get recurrences.
So what's happening in the body when emotional distress is harming our heart?
So it's basically high adrenaline. So the adrenaline you get from some of these stresses are very high. And first, they can cause arrhythmias. But what we've discovered is that the adrenaline can switch into a second pathway where it's not stimulating the heart, but sort of damping it down to some extent. And that's a protective effect, in fact. And so under the same circumstances, there's another syndrome, sudden cardiac death, which is also precipitated by the same kind of things, bereavement or a shock or something dramatic. That's a mostly male disease. And that, of course, is death, as the name suggests. What we think is that in these postmenopausal women, that this is like an aborted sudden death episode, and they've got some residual protection and which switches from estrogen, which switches the adrenaline into this different kind of mode.
It's so interesting, isn't it? I've only been reading recently about what's being called the heart brain, and I don't know how comfortable you are with that term, but we're hearing a lot more about the gut brain, and now there are more studies going into the heart, that it has its own nervous system, that it has its own electromagnetic fields, and that it can beat on its own. So is there a lot more that we don't know about the heart? I mean, the fact that we talk about it as a pain in our chest when we're feeling sad or we feel a tightness, and we speak about love and the heart and we connect those things, but you wonder, is it just the picture on a Hallmark card? Is there more to it?
Oh, there's a very strong connection between the heart and the brain. Absolutely. I mean, as you say, the heart does beat by itself. And what happened, if I've gone to the operating theatre to collect some tissue and they put the heart aside, it's maybe a heart from a failing heart, and they're having a donor heart put in. And so the old heart is outside and it's beating away in the bowl. And so it doesn't need a connection, but it does have a control from another system, a nervous system called the autonomic. And it also has a little, as they say, mini brain in it, so a little set of connections within it. And it can respond fantastically quickly to emotion within the space of one heartbeat. If you can see the change in the heart response to emotion.
What is stunning then? Is that the incorrect beating, if you will, when the emotional stress hits?
So the incorrect beating, you can either have very strong arrhythmia, so the rhythm is all disturbed. It's what they call ventricular fibrillation, or a can of worms. It's sometimes called a bag of worms, I beg your pardon, a bag of worms. So it looks like the heart is wriggling. So that you can have very strong arrhythmias. In this case, with the Takotsubo syndrome, what you get instead is this sort of weird paralysis or stunning of the tip of the heart.
Can we avoid it? As humans, we can't really avoid trauma or emotion, but is there a way to protect yourself or your heart?
Well, so the latest study that's triggered what we're talking about is we're trying to understand what can predispose people to have this. And we've been looking at a set of microRNAs, which are small molecules like gene controllers in the blood. And the people who come into hospital with this Takotsubo, it's important they're not diagnosed as if they had a heart attack, because some of the tests you do for a heart attack or some of the treatments might involve something like adrenaline. And so you don't want to give them any more because it would just make it worse. So they found these two molecules which distinguish people who are having Takotsubo from people who are having heart attacks. So we asked whether these molecules were actually part of the disease, because they're actually something that's produced by long-term chronic stress, so low-level stress. And what we have shown is that, yes, these molecules predispose people to get this odd reaction to adrenaline. What we're saying here is there could be a link between people who've got a very stressful lifestyle in general. They've gone through some stressful events. Then when they get this big shock, like bereavement or a physical shock, that can tip them over into the Takotsubo. So that's what we're thinking about now.
And in your studies, you're working mainly with rats, or are you recording with humans yet? Because I just wonder, do rats experience the same kind of grief and emotional stress? Maybe they do in a lab, but that humans do.
Well, one of the things about working with rats is that, or animals generally speaking, is that we are specifically forbidden to cause them any stress. So we can't really do that kind of thing. We can't really, without huge justification, expose them to stress. So what we do is anaesthetize them, and so they're not feeling anything, but we give them a shot of adrenaline. And interestingly, the dose we use is what you might have from an EpiPen, because it's been known that from EpiPens to trigger off this Takotsubo as well. So we give them something like that, and we can see when we image their hearts that they have this same Takotsubo pattern. So that's how we study it in the rat. Or we take cells from their heart, and we also have cells from human hearts, again, either, you know, when they're not used, when they're being discarded from surgical operations. And we've tested on both of those cells. And what we tested was putting those microRNA molecules on and then seeing how they respond, the cells or the rats responded to adrenaline. And we could see that it made them very much more likely to get this Takotsubo.
So sometimes it doesn't really matter what caused that surge of adrenaline, such as the grief, such as the emotion that the human may have felt. It's the effect on the heart itself.
Things like even a surprise birthday party has been known to trigger this.
Wow. So when we hear the term somebody died of a broken heart, there may be some truth in that.
Oh, absolutely. You're very much more likely to die in the days and weeks following the death of your spouse than at any other time in the previous year or the following year, say. So there's certainly a very well-known syndrome where people die quite close to each other. Carrie Fisher and Deborah Carr, for example, that was a recent one.
So all the usual stress management techniques, deep breathing, meditation, Do they count here? Where you fit that in between sudden death and organising a funeral, I don't know. But are they the kind of things people need to do to make sure their heart is regulated?
I think one of the things is that when people when this happens, people might be feeling, you know, they've had a bereavement. They might be feeling terrible. They might be feeling, you know, ill and tired and et cetera. And they just put it down to the fact that they...
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.